and in line with Andy Wint.
Seven minutes past 12 midday. Thank you for joining the Man in Line today. As of yesterday, there were 44,306 tests taking place at 4:30. 251 tests have been booked in for today. There were 14 new cases of COVID-19 reported yesterday. We have 780 active cases of COVID-19. 16 people are currently in Nobles Hospital. Three are in intensive care, and as of yesterday, 2,084 people are self-isolating on the Isle of Man. 29,599 first dose of the vaccines have been administered, 14,313 second dose administered, and we have 12,862 shots of vaccine currently held in stock. And obviously there'll be an eye on what's happening with the UK and the EU regarding the AstraZeneca vaccinations and whether or not there's going to be a ban on export or a limit on export of AstraZeneca from the EU as they get through what they're getting through as well. Man in Line open through till 1 today, whatever's on your mind. Well, the big story is an individual's been arrested at Laxey Bay this morning. Between 15 and 20 people turned out for a group swim for the second day in a row. Police were there. This happened yesterday, of course. We heard about it first on the Man in Line yesterday. Lots of photos came in and people reporting it. Police were there at 6 o'clock this morning looking for swimmers. They found people in the sea swimming and some who were preparing to swim. The constabulary says as a result, a man's been arrested and is currently at police headquarters. Superintendent Maddox says it's too early to make comment as the matter is currently under investigation. A group of people were spoken to yesterday at Laxey Beach, some of whom were given COVID-19 warnings about gathering together. As a result of what happened this morning, a man's been arrested on suspicion of breaching the COVID gathering regulations and is currently being dealt with by officers at headquarters. Superintendent Maddox said that policing the regulations is tricky and he understands people's frustrations, but the regulations have been brought in as a result of a worldwide pandemic and the Isle of Man Constabulary will continue to police them. And he encourages everyone to adhere to the regulations and try and combat the spread of the virus. What's your thought on this? That swim this morning, it's not against the law to swim on the Isle of Man, but you're being urged not to congregate. So where do the two conflate? Where do they converge? And what should we do about it? Do you think it's a case of people's rights to do what they want to do being trumped by the regulations? I just wonder what you think about it, whether you think it's something that the police should be getting involved in. The individual was arrested this morning, 15 to 20 people. Now, Inspector Paul Kemp from the police spoke about this yesterday. This is the police's point.
The police haven't got an issue with people trying to improve their mental health, using fitness and all, you know, swimming, etc. But in a group, in a setting like that, that was very much a gathering this morning. It would be a little bit like having a fitness class in the park. You know, everybody's doing aerobics or something like that. That would be exactly the same analogy that I would use for that. The officers attended and some formal warnings, final warnings were issued to people in relation to COVID offences.
So let's say you've given one of these people their first formal warning. What would the next step be if that person was to then breach COVID regulations again?
Right. So if we find people in situations that they shouldn't be, generally, such as this, they'll be given a formal warning in the first instance. Once somebody's had a formal warning, any other instances where they're then breaching the legislation means that we'll take more formal action in relation to that.
And you were saying that you're looking for more people involved to come forward. Has anyone actually approached the police?
We have had some contact today, yes, and we are going to be going through a list of people to speak to them in due course, but I obviously can't say much more on that subject at this time due to the fact that it's an ongoing investigation.
The Chief Minister has been talking about how there's more people out on the roads this lockdown, and maybe people are leaving their house for journeys that aren't essential, and talked about how difficult this can be to police. So what are the steps that you're taking to sort of police this?
Well, if you look at our social media, you see that our patrols are out there and we're trying to be out in as many places as we possibly can be, partly to reassure the public as well, because at the end of the day, you might have members of the public who are vulnerable, who are trapped inside or feel trapped inside. They can't go anywhere because they're having to isolate, and the only contact they might have is somebody who delivers food to them. And one of the things we're doing is using our social media presence that little bit more wisely to kind of show what we're doing, that we're out there, that we are trying to look after the public, and it's very much from that sort of way of doing things. Our processes are very much geared around trying to explain and educate and sort of divert people from doing these things, but unfortunately then we have to enforce at the end of it, which is where if we're out on patrol and we find people in situations they shouldn't be, and perhaps they've been warned before, arrests and things like that will happen thereafter. But basically our approach at the moment is very much making sure that our patrols are out there and very much looking after the community.
That was Inspector Kemp talking about the police's point of view with this. What are your thoughts on this matter? Is it a direct correlation? Inspector Kemp said it was like having a fitness session in a park or in a car park or perhaps in somebody's back garden. Is it the same sort of thing? If these people obviously weren't socially distanced and they weren't all from the same household, do you think they're breaking the law? And what should happen as well? Ken's with us on the Man in Line. Hello, Ken.
Good afternoon. I was going to raise a different subject about the latest government con that's going to start shortly. The introduction of smart meters.
Oh, it's
by
all
the MUA.
It's all going to happen this year, isn't it?
It's going to cost approximately £20 million. £400 a metre for households, which is about 14, and then if you include businesses, it'll push it up to 20 million. But it's going to cost £400 a metre, and they're trying to sell it as a green thing. So you don't want to talk about smart meters, they want us to talk about smarter living.
Well, it's going to happen June, I think they're talking about starting it, aren't they?
Yeah, but who passed this? Who's conned people into buying smart meters? All you have to do is read your normal meter, you know how much electricity you're using. And the biggest, when I had a discussion with, what was his name, Dr. Allison, when he was the chairman, he said, well, because they save money by not sending somebody to read your meter. Well, you just pick the phone up and you tell them what your meter reading is, or you go online and fill it in. It will not save any energy. It's a total, don't know, somebody's making a lot of money out of selling the government smart meters. It's warehouses full in England of out-of-date smart meters. And I thought they'd have held on until eventually we could have had a combined, I'm not totally against them, but, you know, totally like they have in England, a sort of combined gas and electric smart meter.
Well, this will certainly put the meter readers out of a job, so they'll save salaries on meter readers.
Well, you can do that anyway, because you can just go online and fill in your own. That will save money, but there again, the government is people out of a job. But I'm just amazed how this has got through without much talk.
Well, they have been talking about this for quite a while. It's not like it's a big surprise. It's going to happen in the north of the Isle. They put in 8,000 in the north of the Isle of Man later on this year, COVID willing, anyway.
But, you know, I offered them, I said, well, if it's going to cost £400, you give me £200 and I'll give you my meter reading.
Oh, well, that's just because you wanted the job, Ken. That was what it was.
I'm just, I don't know, I'm just, I did know about it because, as I said, I've had discussions last year, 2 years ago. And I think it was Alfie Cannon told me, yes, it would save money by the meter reader not coming. I'm just wondering why nobody else has re-raised about, you know, the cost. It's going to cost £20 million. And, of course, we will pay for that as customers through our bills, unless they get another bailout from the government.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks, Ken.
Thank
Good
you.
To talk
Cheers.
To you. This is the news that the rollout of Manx Utilities smart meters is to start in the north of the Isle of Man. 8,000 are due to be installed. Due to begin in June, about 50,000 units are going to be put around the island over the next 4 years. The wireless networks had to be commissioned. The first 15,000 metres have actually been made. They're ready and waiting to go. The idea is to replace the now old-fashioned meters, which have been read by a meter reader, and they reckon it's going to cut waste and promote efficiency. And that would tie into the use of air source heat pumps, where a limited trial of those is underway, and 40 pumps have already been installed. Their performance and user satisfaction is being monitored at the moment. A mail drop will be happening over the next few weeks to tell you personally, individually, and possibly businesses also about smart meters, their use and their benefits. That's the first lot of meters that are going to be happening. The smart meters arrive in the north of the Isle of Man. Jim on the Man in Line today. Hello, Jim.
Oh, hi there. I'm sorry, it's about the steam packet. Well, it is. My daughter come home from Switzerland. She drove up from Switzerland about 6 weeks ago. Now, before everyone phones in and says she shouldn't be here, like, and we know we're going to get those calls. I'm 84. The wife's 79. Our health isn't too good. And she got compassionate permission to come. So that's that cleared. Anyway, getting the steam packet, a night boat, it cost £145 with the car and herself, but £71 for the cabin. Now, she's going back on Wednesday. The steam packet are going to charge her £197 for the car and herself. And that's ridiculous, because she's driving up to Hull. She goes Hull to Rotterdam, 13-hour trip, with a dog, by the way. And the dog goes in a kennel for the 13 hours. But she's got a cabin with a television, and she can see the dog whenever she wants through the television. And she has a code to go down and see the dog's okay. Well, that costs £188. Now, a 13-hour trip with a cabin, £188, Hull to Rotterdam, compared to £197, like, you know, just for going to Haysham with the car. I mean, how do they expect to get people to this island when the epidemic is over? I mean, no one's going to pay that sort of price.
And also, I mean, she paid more for the cabin because it was nighttime, because in the daytime the cabins are cheaper, apparently. But obviously she was the only person in the cabin, and there are four bunks, there are four berths in the cabin, aren't there?
I doubt it. I've been in a cabin. There's only just me and the wife.
But I mean, she was in there. There are four berths. There are four beds inside
I'm
the cabin.
I'm not really on about... I think it's exorbitant. £70 for the night ferry. Scrub round that. We're on about, really, the price of her getting back on Wednesday. No cabin. £188, just her and the car. And she's taking a dog. The dog's going to be in the car. But I think they're charging £10 for the dog.
And importantly, Jim,
£197.
Jim, what did it mean to have your daughter with you from Switzerland?
Look, we're delighted. I'm not on about her being over to see us. I'm delighted. We really are. But I'm on about the price of her getting back at £197 just to go to Haysham. And a 13-hour trip from Hull to Rotterdam, £188, including a cabin. I mean, how do the steam packet sort of warrant those sort of prices? Anyway, that's all I've got to say.
All right, we appreciate your call, Jim. Thanks for calling us, and I hope your daughter gets back to Switzerland fine. And certainly an insight into prices Certainly the Hull to Rotterdam ferry anyway. Linda's on the man in line now. Hello, Linda.
Hello, hi. What concerns me about, I know it was already mentioned when you first went on this morning about, or this afternoon, that the police turned up at 6 o'clock at Laxey this morning. My husband and I were involved in a car collision on late Monday afternoon, and the police wouldn't attend. I called the police. I was very badly shaken up. I have whiplash injury, but they basically said, unless there's injury to some person or damage to property, they wouldn't turn up. Now, because my husband had tried to avoid the car that pulled out at us and hit us, he was on the other side of the road. There was debris all over the road. The other car was damaged as well. We had to basically deal with everything ourselves, and our car was leaking a lot of fluid onto the road. I didn't know what it was. But, you know, in the circumstances, I'd have thought that the police would have been there.
Whereabouts was it, Linda?
On the Bald Rhine. It was close to a bend, though, so we were on the other side of the road, and anybody coming round that bend could have hit us. I just thought it was bad that the police weren't going to attend. I just thought, well, at 6 o'clock this morning, they were down at Laxey dealing with people swimming in the sea for whatever reason, and arresting somebody, and yet, when we had this collision, the police wouldn't come out.
What time of day was it?
It was 5 o'clock.
There was quite a
bit of traffic on the road as well. I know we're in a lockdown, but there was quite a lot of traffic going past. There was a guy on a motorcycle. Thank goodness he stopped, because I was in shock. I was shaking like a leaf and in tears. My husband was composed, but he was the driver, but it had been hit on my side. Now, I'm not going into all the detail of the accident. It was an accident, but I am very surprised that the police would not attend. Especially because we were on the other side of the road. We had to, the other guy helped us move our car to the lay-by on the other side to get it out of the way, but the police wouldn't come.
Do you remember exactly what they said? What was the tone of the conversation?
The tone of the conversation was, he was abrupt with me. He just said, sorry, he didn't even say sorry, he just said, if you're not injured and there's no damage to property, then we don't attend. And I thought, okay. And I was in shock. I was absolutely, not in shock about the conversation with the police, but I was obviously in shock because if my husband hadn't tried to avoid the collision, that car would have hit my door and I would have been injured. We were driving a substantial car, so it wasn't like a tin can. It would, but there would have been an injury to me. And as it happens, I do have whiplash. And I was in consultation this morning with a physiotherapist because I've got pain all the way down the left side of my back. But that's not the point. The point is that the police didn't turn up. They wouldn't attend, even though I told them we were on the other side of the road and there was debris all over the place. I mean, the guy on the motorcycle and my husband was clearing the debris out of the way. I was informed that somebody from whatever, government department would be out to check the road, but we'd left by that time.
So, in effect, you had to clear the scene up yourselves?
Yeah, we cleared it. We had to clear everything out of the way. I just thought it was diabolical. I know the police are short-staffed, but for a car accident, I'd have thought they would have been there just to check on what happened and, but they specifically said, well, if there's no injury to a specific person and there's no injury or no damage to property, then we don't attend.
Okay.
And I thought, well, that's ridiculous. But
All
anyway.
Right. Thanks for reporting that. I hope everything sorts itself out with you anyway.
Thank you. Okay, thanks very much.
Good,
bye-bye.
Good to talk to you. Howard's with us on the man in line. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just turned the radio. Listen to that lady. The least she could have got off the police was a number, because her insurance or the other driver's insurance will require that. So whether she's got that or whether she hasn't, I don't know. But it sounds about right, because I had exactly the same thing happen to me years ago, an accident where my car was damaged. And they wouldn't come out. And they said, bring the car up and we'll photograph it. I said, but I'm leaving the scene of an accident. Oh, it doesn't matter, just bring it up. And that was the attitude they had. And I did eventually get a slip of paper with a number on it, and it said no further prosecutions on this driver. Well, the car was stationary when it was hit. So, But that's beside the point. What I was looking through initially was the smart meters. I was curious about this last year, 18 months ago, when Dr. Allison was promoting it. And they were talking then of 18 million. So you can reckon any government one, by the time they finish with all this, it's going to be 30 million. And one of the reasons they said that they want to do this, apart from their green agenda, which seems to be the government word of the day, that ordinary meters, which are all fitted into houses, are no longer manufactured. Well, I looked it up and they are. And the idea of that, of the smart meters, is they will be controlled from a central point. And if you're in a certain area, they can increase the price of your electricity just by going down the line and put you into a different tariff. It's quite literally controlling how much you're going to spend on your electricity. It's a very sinister way of doing it. And people across have a choice where they can have a smart meter or they don't have to have a smart meter. And this year, the dictatorship of the NEA has said you will have a smart meter whether you like it or not. And that is totally wrong.
What do you think are the benefits of smart meters, Howard?
Personally speaking, I can't see any, because they only tell you how much you're wasting. And if you're not interested in looking at the little clock that's in the house, then it's £400 wasted to start with. And for them to put one in every house, they'll have to go in to start with. And some cases, they'll have to redirect them. And plus the fact that they worked on a Wi-Fi system. And it is said it will indirectly react with the Wi-Fi systems that you have in the house for your mobile phones, computers, etc. And you may have to change channels to come off the same channel as your smart meter move.
Oh, crikey.
So, yes, it's not as easy as they say. If you look it up on the internet, there are 13 channels that the internet works on. And if you find that you've getting interference from your smart meter, it's up to you to change and find a suitable channel, because these smart meters are set on certain channels, and it can, and they say will, interfere with Wi-Fi and computers in houses.
So they said 18 million. Ken said 20. You reckon 30?
Oh, well, you only have to look at the promenade. That's a prime example. They're rapidly running out of money down there. They're cutting this, cutting that, and cutting the other. So when they come to put the smart meters in, you know, the same principle is going to apply. They've picked a figure out of the air, said that, makes it sound like it's nice, 18 million, but you can guarantee it's over a four-year period that is going to be well and truly, you know, open 10 million more than what they said. But the interesting point is they've given 10 million to Manx Telecom to introduce fibre optics all over the island. Now, how much is that tied in to this smart meter system that they're talking about? So there's 10 million to start with they've given to Manx Telecom to put fibre optic in.
Okay. All right, Howard.
Take care. Bye.
It's 12:30, and the good news is if you're on manx.net, it's all working again. They finally got their act together, the company that does all their message aggregating. It all happened. It was only 24-plus hours that we were out of touch. Imagine if that happened to a smart meter. No reason, says this correspondent, for police to attend a damage-only accident, providing details or exchange. If the lady was injured, she should have told the police at the time. Whiplash is a very serious injury that requires hospital treatment. So I do hope the lady gets that sorted out. The fire brigade should always attend car accidents, says John. The police don't attend accidents if no charges can be brought. So a message in that just says, It may not be efficient to use meter readers, but is it the right time to put the meter readers out of work and install smart meters given the way the economy is going to be for the next 2 years? And Paul said in the coming years, when fuel duty starts to decline through the use of electric vehicles, cars and bikes, the Isle of Man government will need a way of knowing if a vehicle is being charged or a kettle is being boiled so they can add a fuel duty for the vehicle electricity. I wonder how they'll be able to distinguish between the two consumptions. Good point, well made, about the fuel duty. As we all start using hybrid vehicles or electric vehicles, who's going to buy petrol? Where's the duty going to come from? Oh, they're changing that, aren't they, as well? The horse tram track must go as far as the sea terminal, or there's no point in having the horse trams, says Gemma. Temporarily, the track should stop at the start of the sunken gardens on Harris Prom, so when the rest of the track is laid, at least it will only be Lock Promenade. This is the news that the horse trams may not be fully funded, that they may have to go back and get some more money, and perhaps the horse trams will just finish at the War Memorial, and that will be it. Then, of course, we may have a new House of Keys. There may be a churn later on this year. There may be lots of new MHKs who don't care at all about the horse trams. It'll be interesting to know. Never mind about the steam packet prices. How expensive have groceries been? Everything is going up in price. Ridiculously priced, says Tracy. Is it true? Have groceries gone up in price as well? There's an entitled generation that always wants something for nothing. They don't want to pay for their electricity. They don't want to pay for cabins when they have to as well, says Colin. A message in about the MUA smart meter program. It's going to cost more than £20 million as you have staff wages of people to put them in as well. 10 staff to put them in, perhaps. A message in that just says, can you educate older people? What's an older person? Because just because they have the jab doesn't mean they can't catch COVID or pass it on. The amount of older people I've come across who aren't social distancing because they think they're now immune. Do people think the steam packet boats run on hopes and dreams? If people travelling don't pay their way, the taxpayer will have to subsidise the cabins. And June said smart meters don't work properly. Look online how many complaints the companies receive regarding incorrect billing statements. Somebody's making a lot of money selling smart meters. I think we should name and shame all the swimmers, says this correspondent. We'll never get out of the lockdown. Was the Laxey Swim a team from the Wednesday night Masonic Lodge? Does that explain the lack of police action? I don't think. Perhaps. That's our Masonic conspiracy theory for the day. If police don't prosecute those at the organised Laxey Swim, then they can't expect everyone to behave. Otherwise, that'll be double standards. There's no doubt, says Jane, the swimmers were an organised event. The gathering was invited on the organiser's Facebook page. This is a civil incitement masquerading as a mental health issue, using people's emotional state to justify civil unrest, undermines genuine mental health issues.
Our doors may be closed at Ramsey Garden Centre on Albert Road, but we're still working behind the scenes for our staff and your safety. We've compost in stock and more arriving, plus plants, shrubs and seeds. We can deliver to you contactlessly to an agreed spot, though please don't approach our delivery drivers. For information or to order, call 816 506. That's 816 506, or use our Facebook page. Don't forget Ramsey Garden Centre, because gardening is good for you.
Crossroads Isle of Man, putting carers first.
Crossroads have been providing services to local carers and people with care needs for over 30 years. As the leading provider of support for carers on the island, our services are all about improving the lives of carers and giving them a break from caring. Visit crossroadsiom.org for more information.
Crossroads Isle of Man.
How much income will you need in retirement? £10,000 per year? £25,000? £50,000? At More Stevens Financial Services, we'll create a personalised lifetime retirement matrix to project whether your plans are in line with reality or just a pipe dream. If they are just pipe dreams, we can show you how to get them back on track. More Stevens Financial Services. Here today, planning for tomorrow. More Stevens Financial Services Limited is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Choose Milan Vets for your farm animal care. Expert services include export examinations, routine and post-import blood sampling, along with ultrasound scanning and fertility work. Milan Vets also offer herd health plans for farm assurance. Farmers can also order in advance to receive discounted medications. Visit online at milanvets.co.uk or call today on 674 532. Milan Veterinary Practice, caring for all creatures, great and small.
This September, the Isle of Man will go to the polls for the 2021 general election. And now you can find out what you need to know on Manx Radio's election website. In the next few months, this will be the go-to place to find out everything from who's standing for election and why to how and where you vote. For those interested in standing for election, how do you do that? Find out on Manx Radio's election website. And if you have a question you want to put to prospective MHKs, let us know by clicking on the I Wish You'd Ask tab. This is your website for your general election. Follow the link on manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 23 minutes before one, live from the Isle of Man. A note in from Phil just said, oh, please tell me we're not going to be subjected to 6 months of daily updates on elections on top of COVID-19. I rely on listening to the radio to keep me sane, but this will be the perfect storm. COVID-19 and elections. I try to avoid listening to politicians. I don't want the politicians just slagging each other off. I fear there's going to be nowhere to hide for the next 6 months. Keep it on the website. We will. I'm sorry. There will be politics. There will be House of Keys general election. There will be politicians, prospective politicians, all talking about being politicians. There is nowhere to hide. I'm sorry. I love you, but there's nothing you can do about it. Stephen now. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy. Hello, listeners. I'd like to talk again about the horse trams and the reluctance of the DOI to carry on this year. Now, I think Mr. Robertshaw, who mentioned it today and spoke about this matter, said that that if the money has been there, if the money has been allocated previously, how on earth can the minister and the DOI now come along and suggest that it's not in this budget? I suspect that there's been a massive overspend, as Mr. Robertshaw, I think, said. And one of the consequences of this is the horse trams have been deleted off the schedule to pay for something else. Now, I think this is where this matter should be investigated. Once Timwald makes a decision in the name of the people and the department ignores the will of the people, I don't think this does any good for the our way of democracy.
Something's changed, hasn't it, though, Stevens? That something's happened somewhere.
Well, I wonder, have they lost the eye and the ball over this matter? Because previously, things that were going to be done by Alden are now being done by the DOI. So there does seem to be a massive problem within the funding of the whole prom scheme. And for Mr. Baker to come along and say, we're doing this because it'll enable the business to get going again along that stretch. Well, surely to goodness, we all know that if this is not done this year, then the likelihood of a new house supporting it again is remote. I would much prefer this house to honour what was agreed and do what was agreed and carry out the work. That's the best way forward, not to imagine that we're all going to think that the department is going to complete what has to be completed now and then revisit it. It's not going to happen. And that's letting down the public who supported the MHKs and Mr. Malarkey, the late Mr. Malarkey, who moved the amendment to the motion. So I just feel it's a huge letdown from this department again.
Why do you think then, why do you think people within the civil service, senior civil servants, elected members, why do you think they're allowing this to happen, knowing that there is a body of the public that really wants the horse trams? There is a substantial minority that couldn't care less about the horse trams, Stephen, though.
Well, I suspect it's because the department is so big, it gets away with it. It gets away with it because no one questions it. The current Douglas MHKs, with the exception of Mr. Robertshaw, who's now raised it, I don't know, maybe the other Douglas MHKs are going to raise it, those that have responsibility for tourism. Does anybody in their right mind really think that, well, this is going to be all, the whole prom is going to be done and the roadworks and signs are going to come off it, and then next year they're going to do it all over again? I can't see that happening. And as I say, I think it's because this department gets away with it time and time again.
It's a good point that you make about the rest of the Douglas MHKs. As yet, we've not heard much from Mr. Ashford or Mr. Peake, Captain Quine, Mr. Thomas, Mrs. Corlett or Mrs. Christian about this.
Absolutely. And I do feel that they have got a responsibility in this to start making questions. It's two things, Andy. It's one is that it was the will of Tynwald that this should be carried out, and the other, this is still, as they say, the tourist, the main tourist part of the island, the gateway. And I think we all of us wanted, those who are interested in it, anyway, wanted this plan to go ahead. Now, for the DOI to come along and tell us that they are interested in business, when we all know they couldn't give a hoot about the interaction with business, it just will not wash. And I think that we've got to get on with this project and see it through.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling, Stephen.
Thank you.
17 minutes to one on Manx Radio. If you're in Ramsey, by the way, today there's an extra bin collection. If your bin day is normally Monday, there's an extra collection today. And if your bin day is Tuesday, there's an extra collection tomorrow to assist residents in Ramsey during the current lockdown. Those additional refuse collections are going to be offered to residential properties this week. So today, Thursday, will be for people who have a normal Monday, and tomorrow, Friday, for people who have a normal Tuesday. There's in addition to the weekly collection taking place on a different day. If you want to take advantage of the additional collections, ensure your refuse bin is left out by 6 a.m., lid firmly closed, handles facing outwards, say the Ramsey Town Commissioners. None of the emergency phones on the mountain road work. Some are missing handsets as well. Who would look after? This is the case of possibly putting emergency phones on Marine Drive if people get into trouble with the mobile phone coverage on Marine Drive being a little patchy. Do the emergency phones on the mountain road work? Have you ever had cause to use one? And I wonder who checks them as well. The proposals to pedestrianise Marine Drive will close it down to the less able, not open it up. The lady who needed to drive to get a phone signal would have had to walk the entire distance. People visit Marine Drive. Many people who visit Marine Drive can't walk a long distance. A message just said that swimming in groups or mountain biking should be banned. It's a risk and puts in danger rescue teams, and the A&E get more pressure for this. So if, and again, this is the case of swimming, it's the case of everybody. Yesterday, I had a note in that somebody was board surfing, kite surfing around Castletown as well. The case is, of course, it's fine if you do it on your own. What happens if you get in trouble? And lots of people have to come and help. Same with the paragliding at the weekend. So what's your thought about this? Swimming in groups or mountain biking together in groups should be banned. It's a risk. And Paul said, regarding the Lexi swimming team, can they be made to watch a video of people in the ICU departments? What happens if all these people need hospital after this? They're using the mental health issue as cover to do what they want. Science doesn't care what people think. nor does a deadly virus. They need to grow up and go home, said Paul. David on the Man in Line. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. I just want to back up Stephen regarding the... Well, it's the promenade, really, and the horse trams. My concern is here that we need to engage, and we have a system within government. It was called the Public Accounts Committee, which Mr. Watterson, the Speaker of the House, is chairman of. He needs to get a grip of this and get it nailed down, and for the minister to say, we'll leave it to the next Timbaldilch, which will happen in November. By the time they sit in the seats and it gets to January, if we're still okay, it'll all be forgotten. But it won't be by the public purse. And can I just remind people, too, that Mr. Gawn, when he was minister, bought all the track for the horse cars, more than enough track that was bought, and it was stored down by the lifeboat station there on the other side. So my concern is here, why are we stopping or trying to stop a contract when it was must have been originally signed up to go for a single track to the sea terminal? And if it's the contract's been changed, what are the terms and conditions of the contract that have been changed? Or how many authorised amendments to the contract have been authorised by the DOI or Treasury? Quite simple. They need to find out.
Okay. Thanks, David.
See you, boy.
It's 13 minutes to one on Manx Radio. That shower in Laxey should be locked up and never a caution. They know the rules, says Brian. And thank you, Ray, who sent photos of the crowd of swimmers in Laxey on Wednesday. Up to 20 swimmers, 10 supporters, stood on a small length of 1.5 metres wide of the pavement. There were people slapping each other on their backs and hugging each other as they left in separate cars, says Ray. Thank you for the photos as well. Well done, the police, for taking action against the individuals that have convinced themselves that community safety rules don't apply to them. We're all in this together. You're not that special.
Do you run a small business? Are you unsure who to turn to for help? From lockdown support to business planning, the accountants at Nicola Bowker & Co. are here for you. Find us at nicolabowker.co.uk and get in touch.
Now is the perfect time to join Peel Golf Club. It's the friendly golf club with a wide range of affordable membership options to suit every golfer. We're confident we'll have a membership package to suit you. Non-members are also welcome with Peel Golf Club's pay-as-you-play option. Peel Golf Course is well maintained and has a thriving ladies section for information on membership and more. Search online for Peel Golf Club or email peelgc@manx.net.
I used to love hearing the birds and my grandchildren playing and my music. It's just not the same now.
It could be again when you arrange a free trial of the latest hearing aid technology with Island Hearing. They provide premium hearing products without the premium price tag, including personalised aftercare from Island Hearing's skilled caring team with microsuction wax removal available too. Arrange your free trial at Island Hearing Port Erin or in Ramsey every Thursday. Call 830-722.
Spring starts this Sunday. Don't forget to put your clocks forward an hour this Saturday night, as British summertime officially begins 2 a.m. Sunday. So it's also the official start of Riley's summertime, with everything to get your garden looking perfect. Ready to click and collect Monday to Saturday 9 till 5. Just call 61 61 16 or visit rileys.co.im to order. Spring into summer at Riley's Garden Centre, Cool Road, Braddon.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 10 to 1 on Manx Radio. Where are all the pro-Laxey swimmers? The constabulary Facebook is full of stupid comments supporting the organisers, saying he was kidnapped. He's not the Messiah, he's a very naughty boy. I'm a concerned Manx person, says this correspondent. The works on the Douglas Prom are shoddy. Also very substandard. All the crossing points are going to be ripped out again as the block work's been laid directly on the concrete instead of being laid on a bed of sand. Also, the red concrete strip is chipped and damaged by the contractors. Who on earth is going to sort this out? John in Ramsey, 570. I can't believe MHKs who enter our government that prides itself on the heritage and culture of the Isle of Man, that has the unique infrastructure and iconic landmarks. These people who get in then endeavour to remove and reduce this is disgraceful. If they don't want to be part of the culture and heritage, leave it. Leave it alone for the people who do want to be part of it. I think some people should get a life rather than criticise people for exercising, whether it's swimming or mountain biking. It's good for mental health. Some people would like nothing more than for everybody to be cooped up indoors, says that anonymous correspondent. 616, thank you for that message as well. And do the anti-lockdown protesters, says this correspondent, do the anti-lockdown protesters head for Laxey Bay today? They must know it's not the most sensible decision. I like mountain biking, but I would never suggest that my pals and I go out for a mountain biking session together. It's against the rules.
This is the Isle of Man talking, the man in line.
And a message in that just said, I'm not sure how many... have you noticed the winter vomiting virus and all the germs haven't been doing the rounds at the moment? So what's happened to them? John W., a message in that says, Andy, the decision has been made by Tynwald on the horse trams. The money has been voted by Tynwald. I think Mr. Baker's being disingenuous and is giving comfort to the cost of everything, value of nothing, anti-horse tram lobby, who subscribe to the EU view that voting on a topic multiple times might eventually give you the result that you want. Text 166177 on the SMS, email studio@manxradio.com, call 661368. I agree with Stephen. The horse tram track needs to be extended to the sea terminal without delay. It will be senseless not to do it while the island is quiet and we're not getting visitors. Imagine visitors getting the train to Douglas, they're wanting to go on the horse trams, and then they have to go halfway along the promenade to get one. That just doesn't make sense. It will be a travesty, says Julie, to get more of the rid of more of the heritage on the Isle of Man. Keep the horse trams running to the sea terminal. We need to attract holidaymakers. Well, it's worth knowing that the railway enthusiast lobby in the UK are furious about the Isle of Man getting rid of heritage railways. Lots of heritage railway fans come to the Isle of Man for a unique offering. We have steam railways, we have mountain railways, we have electric railways, and we have horse trams. There is no place out anywhere in the world that has that same combination within a small area. Other people have steam trains. Other people have trams. But we're all together. And when those railway enthusiasts come along, it's all here for them. It's the only place in the world that it can happen. Do you think that the government should, for the sake of cost, diminish that offering? Time for the motoring lane on the promenade walkway to go the same way as the cycle lane on Glencrutchery Road. The motoring lane on the prom walkway holds up legitimate walkway traffic. It causes congestion. Earlier, the policeman mentioned educating people breaking the rules by swimming, yet the newly arrived welders weren't educated on the way from Tesco to the prison at Jerby, says G. And really, that's the point. Dozens of people were imprisoned last year for contravening the regulations. What do we do with the regulations now? Vernon on the man in line. Hello, Vernon.
Hi, morning, Stuart. Just to go on about the horse trams, I've unfortunately had to give up what I was doing, driving, but I've had people from Japan coming over to the Isle of Man about three times a year up until, well, COVID or before, and they came to the island to go on the horse trams first across the promenade. They flew in from Manchester, did the horse tram, then they did the electric car to Laxey, then they did the electric car to the top of Snaefell. In the afternoon, lunchtime, we came down, we took them to the railway station where they had a very nice meal, and then they went on the steam train to Port Erin, entertained themselves there, and then we took them back to the airport.
What would your message be to the government, Vernon?
Just to get get the horse trams going as soon as possible. Because that, if you look at the paper, there is an ad for steam trains by some holiday company. It's been going for ages. I've forgotten exactly what it is, but they are bringing people every week to the island to go on the steam trains and the horse trams and the electric railway.
Okay, Vernon, thanks for making that point. Well, the story will rumble on, as will the Lexi swimming story as well. If you want to get in touch, 682-631 or email maninline@manxradio.com. Thanks to Barry Redfern, producing today on The Man in Line. Thanks for your correspondence, by the way. We don't read everything on air, but everything does get read. Catch you tomorrow.